Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Chronic Fatigue and Burnout Recovery Podcast. Today I'm going to be doing a listener-suggested topic, which was sourced from Instagram. So recently I asked on my Instagram profile if anybody had any suggestions for some topics for the podcast. I did get quite a few suggestions, and thank you so much if you suggested a topic. There were some topics which were suggested that I've actually already covered on the podcast. So there are, at the time of recording this, I think this is episode 106, if I remember correctly. So there are 106 episodes and I've covered quite a lot. So if there's something specific that you want to hear me talk about, you can always search through the archives on my blog, or I think you can even search through Spotify or iTunes to find episodes on particular topics. I know you can definitely do a search on Spotify. There were also some topics which were suggested, which I've kind of swerved or wanted to avoid at this point in time, and mostly because they're not things that I really cover a lot in my day-to-day work with clients. They might require more research, which, being completely honest, I just don't have time for at the moment with my practice. I have to obviously prioritize the clients I'm working with and the work that I need to do for them, the research that I need to do for their cases, as well as managing Nicolina and her cases, and just generally keeping up with the podcast, the blog, the Instagram, all the emails I receive every week, and just trying to live my own life and continue to optimize my own health. So if I haven't perhaps addressed something that you've suggested, it's not because I haven't appreciated the input. I am keeping a record of the requests. It really just comes down to time at the end of the day. If someone was paying me to do this podcast, it would be a completely different story. But today I'm going to talk about life after disease, when life begins again, and mindset to move on and not get stuck. So this would potentially be appropriate for somebody who's maybe a little bit further along in their journey, who's in those kind of final stages of fine-tuning and expanding and opening up and getting back into life. However, even if that's not you, even if you feel so far away from that right now, I still want to encourage you to perhaps listen to this episode, because there might be just little takeaways or little light bulb moments that you could still take and apply to your journey wherever you are at this moment in time. So please stay listening. Please don't necessarily move on to the next episode. There can always be a little bit of value in the words shared here. But before I go into the episode, just a reminder to leave a review if you haven't already. Your reviews mean so much to me. They improve the podcast rankings. They help other people find the podcast and then get the information and help that could really make a difference in terms of the trajectory of their healing journey. So if you haven't done that, just take a moment to do it now, and then we'll go into the full episode. So where I would like to start in terms of answering this question, which is about, I guess, having the confidence to start to expand and do more and engage more in life, and also about how do we overcome the challenge if we do feel stuck and we can't move forward. And where I'd like to start is just by saying that healing happens when we connect back to ourselves. I've maybe said this a few times on the podcast. I know I've said it a few times on social media, but ultimately, you know, even though I talk about supplements and diet and fasting and testing and heat stress and cold stress and all of these different things that you can do on your healing journey, the very foundation, or at the very core of our healing journey, is this ability to come back to ourselves, which for me ultimately means connecting with our nervous system and learning the language of the nervous system, which is what I teach in Nurturing Resilience. Once we're connected to ourselves, we can really start to understand ourselves better and understand our needs better. And then to take it one layer deeper, once we are connected and once we have cultivated this better understanding of our needs, then the next thing is to actually honor our needs. And this is a really beautiful thing, because when we are slowing down and taking the time to connect to ourselves, to really listen to ourselves and to really nourish ourselves and give ourselves what we need, whether it's space or boundaries or a food or a movement or whatever it might be, this is the place in which we heal. And this is such an important part of healing. I really just believe that we can't get there unless we've built this connection and this ability to attune to ourselves moment by moment and meet ourselves where we are moment by moment. And this doesn't change as we progress through our journey, whether you are, you know, in the lowest of lows, bedbound, hardly able to do very much at all, or you're out in the world but still experiencing some symptoms and some fatigue. This is something that we all need. And it's not just a thing that we need as sick people, and I put in air quotes, but it's something that all humans need. It's something that is missing in our society as a whole, this ability to tune in and connect and honor and really meet ourselves where we are and give ourselves what we need. Because most of us have overridden our own needs and wants and desires to meet a society that isn't necessarily set up for human health. And also just learned behaviors based on our conditioning. So going back to the episode on energetically expensive personality traits, where we've learned to be certain ways to ultimately receive love and to maintain attachment and to maintain connection in our lives. But sometimes in doing that, we've lost connection to ourselves. And in doing so, we lose connection to our needs, our wants and desires and ability to honor them. So understand that even though your dysfunction, so to speak, has manifested in an illness, these same challenges are manifesting in people who appear healthy just in different ways. And so as human beings, we need to come back into connection with ourselves. We need to meet our needs. We need to be able to honor ourselves. Therefore, to come back to this question, which was about moving forward life after disease, we need to take that same approach. The question was really about how not to get stuck. And when I hear the word stuck just comes with a sense of maybe self-protection, maybe freeze, maybe fear, constriction. There's definitely a lot of, speaking through a nervous system lens, there's a lot of activation that comes from this word, stuckness. And understanding that stuckness is also part of life. We're not supposed to be perfectly regulated human beings all the time. Healthy people feel stuck in their lives. People who have moved through a chronic illness experience will also feel stuck in their path through the illness experience. So it's important to understand that staying stuck or stuckness is human. And it's definitely human for somebody who has been through an experience, an illness, when it wasn't safe to expand. When, you know, we tried to do more and we got PEM or we crashed, or we could no longer work, or we could no longer exercise, or we could no longer engage with our family in the way that we wanted to. And we had to continue to make life really, 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 really small so that we could just manage our day to day. And so just kind of speaking to that from an energetic and a nervous system perspective, we had to contract. We had to contract our lives. We had to shrink our lives. We had to pull everything back in our lives so that we wouldn't expend too much energy. So there's a self-protective energy conservation strategy that we've learned to help manage our dis-ease. All of us have probably got a similar strategy, but our strategies have also been unique to us. And they might look like, you know, resting a lot, might look like turning down social events, invitations, being very, very rigid about pacing, avoiding physical challenges, and just as a whole, you know, pulling back on anything that would potentially be perceived as too much. And yes, in the short term, that was probably super helpful for you. It's probably been very helpful for all of us at times to be doing less, because at some point in time, we were doing too much for our system. And so we pull everything back. But then as we start to heal, there's a natural expansion which is going to take place because we want it to take place, and also because our body allows it to take place. But sometimes it's difficult, as you probably already know, to reconcile how much is too much, how much is too little, when the body can be unpredictable and it's not always clean cut how the body will respond to different things. So I just wanted to name here that there can be a lot of fear and constriction around expansion, because once upon a time, expanding, doing more, experiencing more of life and your own aliveness wasn't safe. And the body has probably developed a lot of holding, rigidity, self-protective patterns to keep you safe. And that's essentially what we're coming up against as we get back into life. But that's also what can create the stuckness if we don't know how to work with it. So what do we do? Well, the first stage of change is always awareness. Before we can change anything, we just perhaps want to spend a little bit of time from a place of curiosity, not judgment, becoming aware of what's happening. So maybe just taking a little bit of time to reflect and say, where am I still experiencing some fear in my life? Or perhaps, where am I still self-protecting in my life? Or based on some of the examples I've given, where am I resting maybe more than what I need to? Or maybe where am I turning down social events when I actually don't have to anymore? Or where am I avoiding physical challenges where I actually don't have to anymore? Or where am I being too rigid with my pacing? And is there, you know, a capacity to maybe pace a little differently, do a little bit more, rest a little bit less? And so even if you just give yourself a week or 2 weeks, remember, the slower the better, probably in this case, of just noticing where some of these self-protective patterns are being held. And then once you've kind of got a good sense of some of them, remember, there's always going to be more. Even me sitting here talking to you right now, I still have some of these patterns. And I'm still working through some of these patterns. And as human beings, we all have patterns that we're working through, even those who have never experienced a chronic illness. So you don't have to fix everything at once. You just have to feel like you're moving forward and you're no longer feeling stuck. So once you've spent a little bit of time identifying some of the things you would like to change, not every single thing, big or small, just some things that are obvious and you would like to change, then you can start to create some shifts. And there's two ways that we can do it, or should I say two broad ways in which we can approach this. And we can approach it from the top down, so basically using the mind to support the body. And that's more like mindset work. And that was the question, really. It was about the mindset not to get stuck. So I'll speak to that. But being a somatic experiencing practitioner and very biased in that regard, I'm a fan of bottom-up approaches, where we're using the body through somatic work to then start to create changes in the mind. And both can work. Some work well for some people. Other approaches work well for other people. I'm a big believer in people finding out what works for them. But I will speak to both, starting with the top down. So the mindset work is, it might be investigating certain beliefs that are keeping you stuck. What am I believing about my ability to progress? What am I believing about my health? What am I believing about my illness? You know, what am I believing about where I am in life right now? And how are these beliefs helpful to me? Because they may be helpful because they are self-protective. And how are these beliefs potentially a hindrance to me? And something else, which I know a client I'm working with recently has found very useful, is also look about, like, what are your beliefs about being well again? Because often there can be fear, believe it or not, associated with being well. You might now have to make a big life decision, like, do I have a baby or do I not have a baby? You might have to make a decision about your career. You might decide you need to start dating again. And that's actually a really scary thing for you because you're in this place where you manage your health really well on your own. But now if you bring in a new relationship, there may be some fear around how your self-care changes. So those are just a few examples, but there may be many more examples. And all of these fears about what would happen if we were to progress can be another reason why we keep ourselves stuck. So those would be kind of like, if I was to say, the big two categories of things to explore. And you could literally just do this as a free writing or a journaling exercise, why you might be afraid to move forward. And it could be a belief about everything, I'm just going to relapse and then I'm going to have to process that loss again. Or it could be fear around things which are good, but we perceive as threatening. So being able to identify those beliefs and then work with changing them could potentially be helpful. And it's a lot to go through in this kind of podcast episode, but if I was working with a client and we'd identify some core beliefs, we'd maybe then look at what they would rather believe or what would be more helpful for them to believe, and then ultimately gather evidence to support the new belief and then gather evidence to disprove the old belief. So it's a very cognitive-based process, but it's something that you can journal on, you can reflect on your own. My preference is to work with beliefs somatically. So this is obviously like a luxury for people who are maybe working with a somatic practitioner or working with me one-on-one. But to really notice when we think of the belief, what happens in the body? Is there constriction? Is there tightening, which is the fear perhaps showing up? Or is there just a shutdown, a disassociation, or a collapse, which could potentially be that the belief is just so overwhelming that we've just completely lost ourselves, you know, thinking about the future and thinking about moving forward. So when somatic experiencing, we work with an acronym, which is called CYBAM. So CYBAM stands for sensations, image, behavior, affect, which is emotion, and meaning. So the meaning channel is the belief, but we want to explore the belief through the other channels. When we think of this belief, what happens to the sensations in the body? Are there any images that come to mind? Is there any behavior? So does the body start to like move or make any gestures, or is there like shaking or trembling or something else happening? And what's the emotion that comes up with this belief? So through somatic experiencing, we can explore these channels. And often when we explore these channels in relation to the belief, the body has a chance to integrate perhaps some of the fear, some of the stuckness, some of the shutdown, some of the overwhelm that is associated with the belief. Because that is ultimately what's keeping us stuck. It is the response to the belief, which is the body goes into a survival state, whether that's fight, flight, or freeze. For the most part, it's probably going to be freeze if you're feeling stuck, but not always. But there can be like a lot of fear, which is stopping us moving forward. So to very, very simply answer this question in terms of how do we cultivate a mindset that stops us from getting stuck? It's really about being able to work with the fear of progressing. And that we can do somatically. Yes, we can also do it from a mindset perspective, but you know, being the biased somatic experiencing practitioner that I am, I would say doing it somatically will really create that body-based change in the nervous system, which will allow you to progress and progress and progress. And then it is a case of just moving forward. Once the body feels safe enough to move forward, and you've identified where you're exercising these patterns of self-protection, like the excessive resting or turning down social invitations or avoiding physical challenges or whatever it might be, then what we want to do is not suddenly like go and do something drastic. Of course, you can try that if you really feel up for it. But rather, we like to use the principle of titration. So titration is just doing like a teeny, teeny, tiny amount. So just starting to create change, just one little drop at a time, just doing something a little bit differently, and then giving the body space, giving time for integration, giving time for processing, giving time for the body to go, oh, that wasn't that bad. And then we can make another change. And then we can make another change. And very gently and slowly, we can expand our world further and further and further. And the best way to move forward is slowly, patiently, and compassionately. So if you're noticing that you're stuck, it's not about getting frustrated. Of course, we can work with that frustration as well. That frustration may need to be processed. But once we've dealt with the frustration, then it's a case of just like really this idea of honoring. There's fear here. There's something which I'm afraid of, which is stopping me from moving forward. And how can I hold those parts really, really gently, really, really compassionately? How can I kind of really intuit what I need or attune to what I need and honor those needs? Because very often it's just the once we are able to attune to the fear and be like, oh, you're just afraid. Just even acknowledging that can create a change in the system, which allows for just a little bit more openness to move forward. And so it's not about taking like big steps and jumps forward. We just want to feel like there's movement and there's momentum, and understanding that there will be moments of stuckness, and then there will be moments of a little bit more opening, and then there'll probably be some moments of stuckness again, and then there'll probably be movements of more opening. So there's always this sort of flow of expansion and contraction and expansion and contraction. And we just don't want to get stuck in one or the other. Too much contraction is the stuckness. Too much expansion will probably start to become overwhelming because we're not used to it. And then that will probably revert back to stuckness again. So it's just acknowledging that the stuckness is not bad or wrong. It's just a call for attunement. It's a call for inquiry. It's a call for awareness and curiosity. And then hopefully you can work through it, given some of the tools that I have shared with you in this podcast episode today. And if you are interested in learning a little bit more about how to approach this somatically, you could always consider joining the Nurturing Resilience subscription. The Nurturing Resilience subscription is my 12-week nervous system group program. And even though this program is for people who are experiencing chronic illness, even if you are at the end of your journey, you will learn tools in the program that will still be incredibly helpful to help you navigate life, to help you develop that greater connection with yourself, and then also learn tools for overcoming freeze and working with fear and starting to use these principles of titration and self-compassion and gently and slowly moving forward. So if you are feeling a little bit stuck in your progress and you haven't explored somatic work yet, it could also be a really great tool to add to your toolbox. And I've done my best to make it really affordable. You can join for just £39 a month, cancel at any time. So if you hate it, you haven't lost too much money, you can cancel after the first month. But hopefully you'll love it and you'll stay in the community for a long time. So that does bring me to the end of this episode. I hope it's given you some food for thought in terms of navigating stuckness in terms of life after disease, but maybe even navigating stuckness in general, no matter where you are in your healing journey. I hope that you have been able to take something useful away from listening today. So I will see you in the next episode and have a wonderful fatigue recovery day.